Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what up? Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball. All basketball, all the time. We have Adam Finkelstein's going to join us. Of course, he's a recruiting guru now for 24/7 Sports. We'll get his take on what's next for him as he's moved over to 24/7 Sports and on the recruiting. What does recruiting look like now with the transfer portal, as we're in portal week, the last week in which you can transfer and without a waiver and not sit out next year, which, by the way, is a rule which I hate. I just hate. Like, if you're transferring, you're doing so because you're likely not happy with either culture or system or both. And sitting out for a year allows you to absorb the culture, learn the system, and improve your game. It's a huge issue to me in that sitting out most times helps the guy sitting out the most. I do want to say this, though. You know, there was a lot of talk about Kevin Durant, who had a spectacular game one, spectacular game four, okay game one, disappointing two and three. There's a lot of talk about, Charles Barkley was a bus driver. Like, look, dude, Kevin Durant was the best player in the last three Olympic teams. It wasn't really close. He's the best scorer of this generation, right? He just is. I'm sure he was worn down. He had to play when Kyrie wasn't able to play because he wasn't vaccinated. He had to play when James Harden was hurt, and then when they traded for Ben Simmons. So he played. Outside of when he was hurt, he played. And yeah, the season becomes an abject disaster, and he looked exhausted, but you would look exhausted too. I thought the team was poorly built. I just did. And I don't think they intended to. They didn't want to have two or three small guards, but when they traded Ben Simmons, they acquired Seth Curry, who's a great shooter. Great. But you can't play him and Patty Mills, and they kind of crossed each other's, especially in the playoffs. Just different playoffs to regular season. But the lack of positional versatility and size, I thought really, really hurt them at the defensive end. And then offensively, you know, all their shooting was from little guys outside of Kevin Durant. And that makes it really hard with a Celtics team that's well constructed, a lot of size, and even their smallest player on the court, which is Marcus Smart, is their toughest defender. And he made some shots in the series. So I still think KD's incredible. I'm sure he was worn down. There wasn't a lot of space for him. It's super physical. And that's how you have to be able to compete in the NBA Finals. If you're Brooklyn, if you're Boston, if you're LA, if you're whomever. All right, I'll give you some thoughts on a couple other things NBA-wise. First, though, we're in this weird time with college basketball, right? The transfer portal is working at 100 miles an hour, and yet there's still kind of another this week to go. How does that affect the landscape? Is that why Jay Wright retired? Let's get into it with Adam Finkelstein.
Okay, let's start with you. Kind of a big move, right? So at ESPN for a long time, now over to where, for people who haven't caught up?
24/7 Sports and CBS HQ. So really, really excited about that, and especially what they've got coming up on the horizon. It's going to be a lot of fun. I really think it's going to change the game, especially in recruiting.
In terms of what way?
Well, I think what they're doing digitally in terms of their digital networks and how that stuff is going to evolve and just bring a new platform, really an unprecedented level of coverage to that recruiting space, and just allow us to get into the type of detail and serve every individual fan base and tell the stories. And for me as an evaluator, which is really how I kind of see myself, I think it's just going to be it's going to allow more avenues beyond just rankings to, you know, kind of articulate how we see these prospects and where they may evolve in the future.
It's interesting. I love the idea. I'd like to see it when it gets executed, because I would say that one of my, not necessarily issues, but the thing I never understood, I understood that ESPN on the big platform, you got to play to the widest audience. I always felt like ESPNU, which has now kind of become marginalized, was a perfect, you know, that and the website, whatever, was could have been perfect for college sports, but specifically conferences. And there's a way, especially with the variety of networks, to do it. And just never were able to crack that code. Is that fair in terms of focusing more on the non Duke in basketball, Carolina, Kentucky in basketball, et cetera?
Yeah, I think what you have with like the network concept at CBS and 24/7 with all those fan sites, they've just got so many boots on the ground. And, and just in the first 36 hours of this, that's what I've been overwhelmed with. I mean, you know, it's just here's this person. He knows everything about Indiana. Here's this person. They know everything about Louisville. And I have no experience with team sites and that sort of network, but I've been overwhelmed with not just the amount of people in the network, but with the quality of their information, particular to their school. That part's a lot of fun. And to be able to get into that and really pinpoint an audience that's going to be interested in a specific piece of content. And again, I'm in like day two, so I don't know what I don't know yet, but that part's been brand new for sure.
I know you're working for good people. You're in a good, you're
told
a good,
me to say hello, actually. Yeah.
Good. Let's start with the recruiting landscape. Again, I know you're hyper-focusing on some stories now and a little bit different at 24/7, but the thing has changed completely. Again, this is more outsider running an AU program and having kids that are being recruited, knowing coaches. Sure. Everybody says it's completely changed, but this is your life. Recruiting is your job, is all you do. Has it really changed?
Oh yeah.
The last couple of years.
Oh yeah. And it's in the process of continuing to evolve. I think what you've seen, I don't think it's done yet by any stretch. Because we're in a period of time right now with NIL. And you've even seen this, not just with recruiting, but with retention, if you will, like kids deciding to go back to college, where they're like, hey, I'm going to make more money in college than I am in the pros, and I'm not going to have to, and it's going to be above board. You know, I mean, I think that's.
But there's also the leveraging schools against one another, which
no
is what most
doubt
people believe.
It.
most people believe is happening with some of these guys that are either portaling or just not recommitting, or they're out there. I mean, you know, Kofi Coburn today announced he's going pro,
right?
But last year, suddenly he was in the portal, and it felt like it was a bidding war, right?
No, and listen, I mean, you and I both know the truth is that NIL wasn't the beginning of the bidding war for some schools, but it's brought it above board more so. Although I still think you're going to see, I think in the years to come, you're going to see the NCAA try and oversee this a little bit more. You hear things about like how NIL is not supposed to be school specific, and that's obviously not the case in at least a significant percentage of these. You know, fan bases like team sites are school specific, and some of these people that are investing money school specific. So I think that has definitely changed the game, where, you know, now it's more, recruiting is more of like a contract negotiation up front. Like, it's like, okay, what are you offering? The other school offering? And I've got to compare opportunities. And the portal, I think, is very much the same thing too. Now you've got to have
this. I think the problem that most people have is you're like, there was a push, right, for 4-year scholarships. And that obviously is like 8 years running now. Everybody, all the big schools got the 4-year scholarships. So it's like, okay, you want to make sure that we can't run you off, which you can still run guys off, but okay, we should make sure you can't run them off. On the other hand, like, yes, it's a contract negotiation, but it doesn't seem in any way to be binding the player. That's like it's, people say, well, it's like free agency in sports. Like, yeah, except free agency in sports, you have to fulfill the contract. And then after that contract, then you're a free agent. These kids, because of the portal and the fact that you don't have to sit out a year, it has become almost a yearly renegotiation process.
Yeah. And you know what, to be honest with you, I'm not even entirely sure how I feel about it. You know, I mean, I've seen some of the things you've said, and I read it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't disagree with that. You know, like saw the other day comparing it to coaches, and they have to pay their buyouts when they leave. Players don't have to read anything. I think for far too long, players didn't have any rights, and they weren't being, you know, there wasn't. Now I'm a believer in the value of a scholarship. I think an athletic scholarship can be life changing. I didn't play in college, but I know my wife and I were paying off our debt until, you know, very recently. So I think that.
And it's even more expensive now.
No doubt.
And the other part that I've always been big on is, did people understand how hard these schools are really to get into? And we never create a value for that. I mean, there's a huge scandal in college athletics over parents who have students that aren't athletes using athletics. And it just shows that there's a tremendous value in just getting in, and nobody takes that into the equation. But I think all of that, the part that really, in terms of sport, becomes hard is like, how do you coach? You know, I mean, one, like your alums want you to go out and get the best kids, right? Mm-hmm. At least the best kids in your state, or the best kids in wherever you recruit. Okay. But if you get those kids, well, one, they have to play right away or they're going to leave. And two,
whether you're paying them or not, quite frankly.
Right. You gotta play them or they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And then two, can you actually win with them when you're playing them that early? Right. And then, you know, then you have older guys who are like, hold on, wait, I'm actually better. Then you'll have the lower levels are screwed up because they still have the same problem of kids not playing, wanting to leave. And then the kids that do play and play well, they want to transfer up. Like, the whole thing is a mess. And I agree with you. It went from, and I don't know if no rights, but I think there could have been, a smarter way and a better way of going about it, right? Where you have,
well, I think the pendulum's swinging, right?
Yeah, you know, like, totally. It's just like politics, right? We go from the left to the right, and the truth is somewhere kind of in the middle. And I actually like what the NCAA did from this standpoint. They kind of did what police forces did in terms of when people were saying, "Hey, defund the police." They just said, "Like, hey, all right, you don't want us? Like, we're not. Go ahead, you guys manage yourself." And that's kind of what NCAA. Now people are like, "How come the NCAA is not doing anything?" And they're like, "Bro, you told us you didn't want us around here."
I'm not touching that one. But
here is Doug Gottlieb Inc. Okay, so here is the big question though. Okay, how does it actually work with scholarship offers? Because, you know, guys used to commit early, but now, Like the portal changes what teams completely look like. You don't know who you're retaining. You don't know who you're getting. And then if you're a kid, like you're a top 250 kid, right? Good player, power five, you know, power five likely, maybe mid-major. Like how do these kids proceed in deciding, all right, do I wait? Do I go? Do I take the biggest offer? How does it all work now as opposed to how it used to work?
Well, I think you mentioned two things there that I want to touch on. The first thing I want to go back to just before I forget, you alluded to the fact that, you know, there's this narrative out there that like once if you're an incoming freshman, once you get to campus, how you were perceived in high school doesn't matter anymore. And everybody's starting from scratch. And I just think that is not accurate, you know, because a coach and you said it. If you've got a five-star kid or a high-profile kid and they don't do well, that's going to hurt your pursuit of the next kid at that level. And ultimately, succeeding in college is about getting players. And so if you're getting high-profile kids and your players aren't doing well or aren't living up to expectations, and you don't think that's going to hurt your pursuit of the next high-profile player, you're just, you know, I couldn't disagree more with that. So there's this narrative out there that, like, everybody starts from square one on the first day of your freshman year. And I don't buy into that at all. And I think that's more about like, you know, protecting the coaching profession a little bit. As to your question about, you know, what is the timeline and how this thing impacts it, I think that's really level specific. So the example you gave was top 250. I'm going to shrink that a little bit and say, let's talk like top 25 just to start, because I think what we've seen is if you look at the class of 2023 now, like we've had one live weekend and there's a pretty good percentage of these kids that are already committed. So I think there's two things that we're seeing. One,
but those aren't binding and
no.
Right. And like the second somebody like, oh, you took a point guard, I'm out. Right. So,
but none of this is binding. The letter of intent isn't really binding anymore, you know, like, so, but at least the timing of making the verbal commitment for the high profile, like five-star type kids, that seems to be happening in many cases earlier now. The reason why, I think a couple of different things. One, these kids are by rule allowed to work with agents now. So they're having that interaction more. So the mindset is already shifting to professional opportunities, whether it's name, image, and likeness, whether it's the NBA, whether it's whatever the case may be at an earlier stage. So the recruiting, I don't want to say it goes to the back burner, but they want to get that over with so they can start moving on to you know, the next steps, the professional opportunities. I really think that's a factor. Now, beyond those five-star kids, I think everything is delayed. Top 250, but especially if you're a low to mid-major kid, it's never been harder to get recruited than it is right now. You've never had fewer choices than you have right now. You know, one of the things I try and advise those families is you can't compare this to your son's friend, Johnny, who's just picking the seven schools he wants to apply to, seeing which one he gets in and then deciding where he wants to go. You have to see who wants you first. And it might not be in the city you want. It might not have the major you want. But if they're offering you a full scholarship, and this speaks to the value of a scholarship, and it's, you know, almost May of your senior year, you've got to be ready to take that. So I think that low to mid major recruiting, all the way up to like the mid pluses, that's really delayed now from where it was a couple different years ago. That's more about the transfer portal than it is name, image, and likeness. But it speaks to that theme you were talking about how different things have become in the last few years.
Alabama and Arkansas are loading up with McDonald's All-Americans and dudes, right? I don't know how many scholarships they have at Arkansas, but it's sure
as many as they need.
Many as they need. But it is going to be amazing. How does it play out? Because, you know, can you win with young guys? I think Muss is an amazing coach, and he's like the perfect, he and Nate are kind of perfect for those spots. They've kind of kind of cracked the code, and I want to get to what it does to Kentucky in the future. But how do you think those two teams that have done incredibly well, both in the portal and in traditional top 100 recruiting, how does that play out?
Well, I think it, you know, what's ironic about those guys is both Muss and Nate were perceived as bad hires. Remember that? Like when they were hired and people were like, I don't know, you know, I mean, well, they're doing pretty well. I think both of those guys just, I mean, first of all, recruiting in that conference right now, I mean, that's where the heavy hitters are. Now, we've got six new head coaches in that league. And obviously, you know, there's a change at LSU, which kind of, I think, is going to create further opportunity, quite frankly, for Alabama and Arkansas. But there is, I mean, those guys are getting it done year in and year out. And it's all about, you know, there's, I think it is sustainable. I think it is.
Take Arkansas, right? Six yeah. top 100 recruits, three McDonald's All-Americans. Plus, you have all these other guys they're bringing in, and we'll see if Jalen Williams comes back. My guess is he does. Okay, like how many can you win with those young guys? Can you retain those young guys? You know, like it
has want to,
or do you want to? Right? Like there's yeah. a. whole bunch, there's a lot to it there, and he's the perfect guy because that, I mean, just he knows how to somehow at the end of the year they kind of figure it out and guys fall by the wayside, but it could be a very interesting process of getting to that point.
Yeah, there's some Darwinism in there for sure, you know, like it's survival of the fittest. You know, and I think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you mentioned Kentucky, that's what Cal used to market, like, hey, I'm not promising you anything other than you've got a platform and you've got an opportunity. And especially when you see it, like the type of roster Arkansas has got next year. And also the fact that they had a top 100 freshman this year who decided to transfer because, and you know, he's going to say they recruited over my head. Well, listen, anybody's taking those dudes, you know, nobody's saying no to those guys. So I think it very much is kind of that model that Cal used to sell. When you get it, nobody's going to say no to that caliber of player. And everybody in this day and age has to get as many of the very best players as they possibly can, because there's no guarantees for anything. The only guarantee is if you've got a contingency plan. And right now, Arkansas has got enough depth of talent where they have a contingency plan. And that's why ultimately, I think it probably is sustainable. But that means there's going to be some very good players who may not make it, who may pop up. You know, like we used to see the Kentucky transfers get to school B and end up having a very good career. I think that's certainly
Johnny Juzang.
Yeah,
Johnny Juzang is the most recent example.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, what about Kentucky? You know, I would guess Oscar Tshiebwe stays because, like you said, he'll make more money staying than he will as a second round pick in the NBA. I thought this was the first year where he figured it out and kind of adjusted. Obviously, they fell short losing to St. Peter's. But what does Kentucky look like this year and into the future?
Well, and I think there it's as much about what Shire has done at Duke is it is about Arkansas and Alabama and the rest of them, because Shire has killed it in the recruiting world. Yeah. And really done a phenomenal job. So the other thing that I think is interesting with regard to Kentucky, I said this in December and people looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I think this year's Kentucky team is the best team we've seen from them in recent years with less NBA talent than we've seen in a long, long time. So I wonder, you know, we haven't heard any public declarations from Cal, who's like the king of basketball marketing, but I wonder if they're kind of pivoting a little bit away from the one and done at all costs versus like, hey, that doesn't win us a national championship unless we get Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist over here. And if we really want to, like, what's the goal? Is it to get guys in the green room after 1 year, or is it to win a national championship? Because I don't think those two things are necessarily the same. We haven't heard him talk quite as much about the one and done mission within the last year. And like I said, I know everybody remembers the St. Peter's game, but before that, we're talking about one of the best Kentucky teams we've seen in recent years. And I maintain it was with less NBA talent than we've seen in recent years.
I would agree, which is very similar to Kansas, right? And Kansas won the national championship with guys who they retained. And then you add a Remy Martin, who's not an NBA player, right? And by the end of the year, you figure it out. What about Duke? How is Shire doing this? Because I would say perception is, wait, they're not really a name, image, and likeness. They're an SEC, spend at all cost organization. And I get that it's relationships and you got a young guy and it's Duke or whatever, but what are your thoughts on how they've been able to take what Coach K was doing and grow it? And he hasn't yet coached a game.
Yeah. Well, that was the big question, right? Like, could he maintain the same gravitas on the recruiting trail? Could Duke maintain that without Coach K there? I admittedly was skeptical. I think most people were. I think he knew that he needed to get it going with a splash, and he did. You know, last summer, you know, he gets Filipowski, then he gets Derek Whitehead. Now, all of a sudden, it's rolling. And it's like, oh, the brotherhood's still a thing. And by the way, it's even more than we thought, because now it extends past Coach K. Like, it's still going. And now there's a momentum to it in and of itself. And then you get Derek Lively, and now he's got five commitments in 2023. I expect one of them is going to contemplate moving up to 2022. But the bottom line is his first two classes, he's number one in the country and by a pretty big margin. The challenge, though, and this is a part that I don't necessarily think people are talking enough about, is that there becomes a pressure. And you alluded to this earlier. When you get all those guys and now you have to handle those expectations. And by the way, you're also dealing with your own internal expectations of sitting in Coach K's seat. I don't care what team you're coaching. The first time you're a head coach, that's a different kind of pressure. Like,
oh, well, hold on. And then here's something that people, I think, in the biz talk about, they don't talk about outside the biz, is, you know, Duke, whether they got calls or not, they got a fair whistle on the road, right?
That's fair. Okay? Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is piss off the old man. He picks up the phone and calls the coordinating official. And all of a sudden now you're not doing the Duke games anymore.
We talk about the police again. let's go back to the police.
No, I'm just telling you.
Like, no, you're right.
Like,
yeah.
Look, this happened at my school when Sean Sutton took over for Eddie Sutton. They it's not that they don't respect you. It's they fear the old man, right? Because of right. what a phone call does. That part to it is going to be really, really interesting. How Duke is handled by everybody, whereas they were revered previously, that stuff changes in a hurry. Let me kind of run through a couple other more quick ones. What about Arizona? Obviously, Tommy comes in, does a great job, but those are Sean acquired that talent. How are they going to be able to build in short order on that talent?
Well, you know, there's Jack Murphy is the common denominator on those two staffs, you know, and Jack got players for Sean, but he also fit the niche that Tommy has liked and thrived with at Gonzaga, which is international players. Sure. So I think that there's going to be a continuation there. I think candidly, what I'm really interested to see, and this is another thing that people don't talk about, what happens to Gonzaga's talent base now? Because you could say Arizona was playing with Sean's players. You could also say to a certain extent, Gonzaga was playing with at least few and Tommy's players, because everybody knew that Tommy was a huge part of how they recruited there. So yeah, they're definitely going to recruit to the same pool. But I think that's going to be very interesting, not just what happens at Arizona, but also what happens at Gonzaga, quite frankly.
I completely agree. And Gonzaga seems to have lost out in a couple bidding wars here as well. How does that change them, right?
Yeah.
That part to me is absolutely fast. Amani Bates, what happens?
So let me say this, start with a disclaimer. I was one of those people, I'm going to write about this next week. I was one of those people, and he was 15 years old at USA Basketball. You know, we were saying all those things. And in retrospect, I'm going to tell you, even now, he was the best 15-year-old I've ever seen. I've still never seen a better 15-year-old. He was amazing. What happens? I'm hopeful that we'll split the difference, you know, that he's obviously not going to be what I and so many others thought he was when he was 15 years old, but maybe he's not going to be the total bust that the clickbait has suggested he's going to be in the last 8 months either, because he's still severely young. He's still exceptionally talented. And if we build up his body and we gain some appreciation for how to play and how to play the right way and how to get coached and be in a situation where you're going to get that stuff on a daily basis. Sure. I haven't written him off. He's too talented to write him off.
He's the guy who actually needs the year after transferring to sit, work on his body, into a culture. But of course that's never.
Well, and here's what I would say. What would happen to him in high school? If we used to talk about this at ESPN, Paul and I used to talk about this all the time. Like if he were in high school, what would have happened if he went to Montverde or IMG and he's got Kevin Boyle or Sean McAloon or Steve Smith or La Lemire or Sunrise, and he's got one of those guys saying like, hey, we're not really interested in your, and you know, like you're already held accountable in high school. He's supposed to be a high school senior now. Like, could we have seen some growth now? And then you go to a place where you're really held accountable in college for a year. Like, I think so much of this is the variables around your situation. And I just
I totally agree. The variables are big, but the part that you nailed is the accountability, and it becomes increasingly hard for anybody to hold somebody accountable when they can just leave at the drop of a hat, and then there's no repercussion from it. Overtime Elite, G League Ignite. Overtime Elite, you know, I feel like because it's basically paid prep school ball, that may have more life. How does all of this money being thrown around, name, image, and likeness, how does that affect Overtime Elite and G League Ignite?
So the two variables to watch in both of those situations, if high school kids can ever go straight to the draft, I don't know that they're the G League. There's a role for the G League Ignite anymore. And conversely, with Overtime Elite, the buzz now is, do we ever, with name, image, and likeness, do we ever get to the point where kids can go to Overtime Elite and then go to college? And so in its current form, it's hard to see the longevity of it. But if it evolves to the point where, because I think in some circuits now, they're still playing on the sneaker circuits this spring. I'm not 100% sure on that. But if it gets to the point where a kid can go to Overtime Elite as basically a high school option or a alternative to a traditional high school, and then potentially go to college? I mean, behind the scenes, that's what people are starting to wonder. And if that ever happens, again, like I said, this thing isn't done evolving. Both of those things, if in order to continue on and have some longevity, are going to have to evolve. If the collective bargaining agreement changes, like I said, I don't know that there's a need for the G League. If overtime elite kids can go to college basketball, I think it potentially is going to get, it has a, you know, that's going to be huge. That is a crucial domino. And that's the splitting in the road where we know if they're going to have longevity or not, in my opinion.
Is Syracuse dead?
Judah Mintz is really good. They are going to have, I was surprised they weren't better this year, to be honest, with Swider and the Boeheims. I figured they just shoot people out of the gym. But I don't think
there's two ends of the basketball floor, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's true.
I mean, they live that zone was hard and so long, and they recruited to it, and then they stopped recruiting to it because they had shooting and scoring. What are your thoughts on the Louisville hire? Because, you know, outsider, it feels like some momentum there and they're doing some right things and getting players. But these are Syracuse and Louisville, historic programs in the ACC, but they have fallen on hard times. What's Louisville look like?
I love the staff, first of all. I mean, I think getting Nolan Smith away from Duke, I think that was a coup. I think Danny Manning brings in a player development, a credibility standpoint, and then it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with the rest of the staff. I mean, does Milt Wagner go there? And if he does that mean DJ Wagner's coming? And then you just took the top player in the country away from Cal. I mean, that's the biggest recruiting story. That's the biggest college basketball recruiting story in the country right now. Regardless of what happens with that one specific player, I think this is the analogy I made yesterday. Since Kenny Payne got hired, it's become clear he's not going to rush into battle and just go charge and fight, but he's lining his pieces up and he's going to be really strategic. And I think if you're a Louisville fan, you've got to be very pleased with what's happened since he's arrived there.
Last thing, the most impressive, it doesn't have to be coach, me staff, that doesn't get the national play in terms of what they're doing in recruiting that you're like, these guys, it's going to hit.
From a recruiting standpoint, you know, this isn't exactly, I was just telling somebody earlier today, though, hope this doesn't offend the family ties. I was saying to somebody, I said, Kyle Smith's the smartest man in college basketball, and nobody talks about it. I mean, Kyle's an exceptionally bright guy.
I think Todd's really bright too. I don't know how that works at Florida.
Todd worked for Bruce. This is the thing. I just talked about this. Todd worked for Bruce Pearl for 2 years. Like, yeah, people get fooled by like the analytics and the young
look. I got it. But it's I love Todd. Okay.
Yeah.
Know him really, really well. But he looks like he's 22 years old and he's a head coach of Florida. And like, Mike White's not a bad coach, and they're about to run him. They ran him, you know, up the road to Georgia.
Never follow legends. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. It's really, really hard. Anyway, you're saying Kyle Smith. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the problem at Wazoo is it's like a mid-major and a high major league. If a kid is really good, you're going to lose him, you know?
That's
the hard part.
No, but I do think that, you know, in terms of recruiting, the thing, I'll leave you with this. The thing that I think is interesting about recruiting, we're always projecting a futures market. Like, we're saying, hey, this is the best recruiting class. And I think what we should do and what I'm hopeful to do is to be able to analyze it retroactively. Because if you really want to know who the best recruiters are, you've got to know, like, okay, who identified the talent, not what I think is the talent, but what is particular to their program, and then who developed the talent within their program. So, I think that's kind of the missing piece with how we look at this whole thing. I mean, Villanova is obviously like the poster boy for that. Like, who cares where their recruiting class is ranked? They just win every year. So,
yeah,
you know, because they get guys that fit and they get them better within the context of their system.
And the transfers they take buy into the culture element to it. You know,
they don't have to take as many as everybody else because they have retention as well as recruitment. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the blue pill or the red pill, but they got those dudes to buy in like nothing I've ever seen.
You better jumpstart. You better jump stop.
Better jump stop playoff too. If somebody wants to get your newest stuff, how can they do it?
247sports.com. Twitter and Instagram is just Adam Finkelstein, K-E-L-S-T-E-I-N.
Man, you're the man. I really appreciate you joining us. I look forward to seeing the new work, and thanks for joining me.
Appreciate you having me.
That was perfect. Adam was awesome. Really, really good. And I think how it looks in 5 years will be different from right now. But right now, it's just wild, wild west. And look, in talking to college guys, I agree with this. What's a likely scenario is you can't get an NIL check till you played at least a semester at your school. Otherwise, you're just buying recruits, which is what we told you it would be and which is what it's morphed into. I think you have to wait a semester before you can get NIL money. And the NIL money is really designed to reward guys who stay in school or reward guys for their school performances. So there's got to be some gray area there. And I am a proponent of guys sitting out a year. I don't know if that will ever come back. All right. Well, look, we can preview and post-view NBA playoff series anytime you want. In the meantime, I thought you'd want some college hoops recruiting schnizzle. And he gave it to us. And he was awesome. So make sure you check him out at 247 Sports. We appreciate you listening. A reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on the iHeartRadio app and Fox Sports Radio or foxsportsradio.com, Sirius XM 217 and 203. Thanks for downloading. Check out some of the archive stuff. Most recently, Stanley Johnson of the Lakers. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.